You to think about someone, and the person that I want you to get in your mind is the person that you believe is the strongest Christian that you know. I want you to think about the person that you believe is the most devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the person that if you were going to have to point to someone and say, that person shows me what following Jesus is like. All right, do you have somebody in your mind? Hello? I don't know who you might be thinking about. It might be a grandmother. It may be a friend of yours. Maybe a minister somewhere. But you have someone in your mind that you're saying, this person more than any other shows me what loving people is like, is committed to Christ, is kind, is generous, whatever those characteristics are. The question that I want to look at tonight is, why aren't all of us like those people? Do they have something with Jesus that is not available to us? Did a different Holy Spirit fill them that we don't have access to? Why aren't all of us as devoted, as passionate, as sincere in our faith in Christ as the people that we have on our minds? Well, I think that we can get some clues to that based on what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to follow along tonight, you can turn there in this intensely personal letter that Paul wrote. Some of the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote to people that he had never met. For example, the letter to the Romans. Paul had not been to Rome when he wrote that letter to them. He wrote and said, look, I have heard about your faith. Everybody in the entire world is speaking about how committed you are to Christ, and I am looking forward to getting over there. I want to see it for myself, but in the meantime, I am praying for you and I want you to pray for me. And so some of the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote to people that he did not know personally. The letter to the Colossians also is like that one. But some of the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote to people that he did know, and Philippians is one of those. As far as we know, the very first person even to say the name Jesus Christ in the city of Philippi was Paul. He was the first person to preach that Jesus had died on a cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day so that we could be forgiven and have brand new life. And so as Paul spent time there in Philippi, he discipled those people, mentored them, equipped them, trained them, helped them to establish a little church, and then he moved on to another place. But those Philippian Christians never forgot Paul. They never forgot his commitment to come to them and tell them the good news so that they could be saved. And as a result of that, they kept in touch with him. In fact, the occasion on which Paul wrote this letter was to thank them for an offering that they sent to him. They said, look, the work that Paul is doing is very expensive. He has to load up and travel from place to place in order to preach the name of Jesus Christ. He makes tents on the side to be able to fund what he does, but let's see if we can help him. And so they generously took up money and sent it to Paul to say, use this on your next journey. And so Paul wrote them this letter to thank them for that offering. Nearly all of Paul's letters have at least two sections in them. The first section in nearly every letter that Paul wrote was very doctrinal and theological. He had some ideas that he wanted to teach to people, and Philippians is like that. But then in chapter 3, as Paul did in most of his letters, he turned the corner and had a practical section. And beginning in verse 7 of Philippians 3, here is what Paul wrote. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Why aren't all of us deeply devoted followers of Jesus Christ? Why is it that we have some people who claim that they are part of the body of Christ, but their lives are very lukewarm? They do not demonstrate a real burning passion and zeal for Christ. Why is it that all of us are not like those deeply devoted people who were on our minds earlier? I think there are four reasons that Paul points to in this passage. One reason that not everyone who claims to be a Christian is as devoted to Christ as we might think they should be is because they are pursuing lesser values. They cherish something which is not as important as the kingdom of God values. They do have something that they are seeking. They do have a prize that they are pursuing, but they are pursuing values which are less than or different from Christ. Paul said, look, I was just like that at one time. At one time, I lived a life that was different from this one, but once I really had an encounter, once I really had an experience with Christ, I realized that all of those things that I thought were so incredibly important before, now I realize they are worthless. In fact, he says they are less than worthless. They're not even a net zero. They're a loss. Look at what Paul says there in verse 7. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. He said, look, all of the time that I spent pursuing these other values really result in a loss because not only are they worthless, but all of that time that I could have been seeking Christ, that time is gone. And so I am at less than zero when it comes to those things. In verse 8, he said, more than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. One of the reasons that all of us are not like the people who were on our minds earlier is because we are pursuing lesser values. Everybody has something that is important. Everyone has something that really matters to them. Everybody has a prize. Some people are pursuing lesser prizes. Now, I don't know about you, but if I am really struggling to figure out what I'm going to do for supper at night, I have one fail-safe option. Cereal. I love cereal. I always have loved cereal. In fact, when my mom and dad were making out the grocery list when I was a little boy, and they would ask what type of cereal my brother and I wanted, we really didn't make our choice based on the taste of the cereal because we liked all of it, except for Grape Nuts. And so we liked all types of cereal. We made our choice based on the prize that was inside the box. And so we would see a television commercial and there would be this telescope or this pirate's chest or something like that. And so we would say to my mom, get the Lucky Charms because of this. Get the Frosted Flakes because of this. We liked the taste of all of it, but that prize inside mattered. And so my mom would bring the cereal box home. I would keep eating massive bowls of cereal to get to that prize finally. And then on the morning when you would empty it, there it would be. You would tear open that little plastic wrapper and say, let me see this telescope that I got. It would be a piece of junk. Now, on the television commercial, all the boys would, oh, look, I see Treasure Island. And they would do all of this type of stuff. And you would think, man, that is an incredible price. Yes, that's exactly what I want. And then you would get it. It would be trash. That's what a lot of people are pursuing. They are chasing something that they think is going to bring great delight to their souls. They want some sort of recognition or honor. They're trying to make as much money as they possibly can. They're trying to connect themselves to the right circles. And they think, when I get to the bottom of that box, then life will be great. Paul said, I was just like that. He said, look, I sympathize with you. I know exactly what you mean. Because at one time, Paul said, I was in your shoes. He said, I was pursuing something that really turned out not only to be worth zero, but to be worth less than zero. My college roommate is a pastor in this state. And one day he and I were talking about our elementary school years and different things like that. And when he was a boy growing up in Eupora, their elementary school building burned to the ground. Don't know what happened. Don't know if, you know, there was an electrical system malfunction or if the church was having a deacon's meeting in there and one of them left a cigarette burning. Don't exactly know what happened, but the school building caught on fire and it burned to the ground. Well, I don't know that people do this so much anymore, but at one time when there was a big fire in town, people would go watch it. And so especially in Eupora, I mean, what else is there to do? And so everybody loaded up and went over to that elementary school building and watched that building burn. And my college roommate, as a little 6-year-old, 7-year-old boy, sat there sobbing. Just tears streaming down his face. He said, I was wailing as that school building burned. And my mom said, son, it's okay. It's all right. They're going to build a new school building. You're going to have a new building. He said, it's not that. She said, what's wrong? He said, my crayons are in there. There was a building which today would have cost millions of dollars to build. And he was concerned about a dollar's box of crayons. Misplaced values. And one of the reasons that all of us are not like the people that we were thinking about earlier. One of the reasons that our lives might not match up to their lives is because we are pursuing something that is not valuable. But there's a second reason. Paul says one of the reasons that we're pursuing things which don't really matter, but second, he said we have forgotten how wonderful Jesus is. That experience on the road to Damascus changed Paul. In fact, it changed him from Saul to Paul. And he recognized what a great act Jesus had done in dying on a cross to save someone as wicked as he was. And so Paul never got over that. He never got bored with the fact that Jesus died on a cross. He never could escape the wonder of the fact that God would step down out of heaven to die personally for him. And so as a result of that, Paul's heart was set on fire to know Jesus Christ, to serve Jesus Christ, to love Jesus Christ. He never could get over this person who would die to save him. And that's what he said there in verse 10. He said, my goal is to know him. He said, I really want to know Jesus Christ. Everything else is secondary to me. I am pursuing him. I am chasing him. I'm doing everything that I can to be able to be the person that he wants me to be. So much so that he says, what I really want to experience is the power of his resurrection. He said, I want to be a part of those moments when God breaks through and does something incredible. I want to see him answer impossible prayers. I want to watch him transform lives that people gave up on decades ago. He said, I want to see him do something big. I want to experience the power of his resurrection. But Paul said, I am so committed to knowing and serving, loving Jesus Christ, that if doing so means that he has to take me into great suffering, then that's what I want to do. He said, I also want to know not only the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul said, Jesus is worthy. And whatever his plans for me are, that's what I want. Whatever the pathway might be, because that's how wonderful he is. Paul never could get over that. He never yawned his way through a service. He never stared blankly, hoping that the hour would end quickly. He loved Jesus. And the reason that his life is different from mine, the reason that those lives about whom we were thinking earlier are different from ours, is because those people really love Jesus. He really matters to them. Now, we're getting close to the summertime. And in the summer, almost exclusively, the work that I do is youth or children's camps. In the school year, I have a lot of variety in the events at which I speak. But in the summertime, almost exclusively, youth or children's camps are on the calendar. And so, sometimes youth ministers will do different things with their camps. You have large group worship services, and then you might have some recreation. And then there are times where they schedule these little seminars or track times or breakout groups or something like that. And not always, but sometimes they will ask me to lead one of those breakout sessions. And frequently, for whatever reason, people want me to do a seminar on relationships. They say, Gary, it's obvious you're an expert on women. And so we want you to come and do something like this. When I have led those little seminars, not one time ever has someone come up to me afterwards and said, Gary, look, could you help me? Because I don't ever think about my girlfriend. When I get up in the morning, she never crosses my mind. When I go to school during the day, I don't ever think about her. I don't ever try to race over to her classroom in between periods. I don't ever send her anything on my phone. I don't ever Snapchat her in breaks. I don't ever do that. In fact, when I come home from school, I don't ever even think about her. I know that I should, but I never even think of her. In fact, I go to bed a lot of nights never even thinking about my girlfriend until just before I go to bed. And then I say, oh, I forgot to talk to her. Hey, baby, how... I've never had anybody ask me that. Because teenage boys are obsessed with women. They constantly are thinking about them. Teenage boys think about women with the same intensity that teenage girls say, hey, does anybody want to go to the bathroom with me? And then they all load up and go together. I've never had anybody ask me that. But let me tell you what I have had asked. I've had hundreds of people through the years to ask me, how can I be more consistent in reading my Bible and praying? Man, I can go the whole day without even thinking about God unless an emergency comes up. In fact, if I were completely honest, they will say, I can go a whole week or weeks without ever having any real set aside meaningful time with God. Do you know how that happens? We've forgotten how wonderful Jesus is. We have forgotten such a loving, devoted Savior who would pour Himself out for us so that we could be made brand new. Once that truth grabs a hold of us, we won't ever be able to get over it. And one of the reasons why you and I are not like the people we were thinking about earlier is because those people know how wonderful Jesus is. And we've forgotten it. There is a third reason that I think Paul points to in this passage. He says we are pursuing prizes or values that are less than the highest. Second, we've forgotten how wonderful Jesus is. But third, Paul says we lack perseverance and determination. Look at what he said beginning down in verse 12. He said, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of it by Christ. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." Now, in verse 12, Paul said, look, I'm not there yet. I am on a journey and I'm trying to be the person that Jesus wants me to be. But I acknowledge that there are a lot of times when I look at myself and ask, what are you doing? I'm just not there yet. He said, but I make every effort to get there. He said, I'm doing everything that I can think of to be the person that Jesus wants me to be. Is that you? Are you doing everything that you can think of? Is anything and everything that comes to your mind that makes you say, yes, this would help me be like Jesus, are you doing that? Paul said, I am. Making every effort, not just some effort, not just a lot of effort. I am making every effort. I can't think of anything else that I should be doing to become more like Jesus Christ. And then down in verse 13, he says, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what as ahead, to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal. Now, that phrase, reaching ahead, or reaching forward, that I have in my translation, I really don't think that's the most accurate translation. I'm not sure what translation you're using, but the word really means straining toward. In fact, one of the ways that people learn what Bible words mean is that they do research on other literature that was written at the same time. And then they compare how the word was used here, maybe in a newspaper or an author's book or something like that. And then they say, okay, well then that's probably what it means here. For example, let's say that our society disappears and in the year 4000 AD somebody is digging through the ruins and they start looking for this and looking for this and they find Jonas Brothers CDs and things like that. And then when they start trying to figure out, hey, what did this word mean in this church bulletin? Well, they might find a copy of the Commercial Dispatch that was written during the same time period, or maybe another book, and they would say, well, okay, well, the word means this here and this here, so it must mean this over here. So, back during Paul's day, one of the ways that this word for straining was used to describe horse races. If somehow you could get a camera and put it right there at the finish line of on a horse track, and if you were to snap the picture right as the horses were crossing the finish line, if you were to study the picture, you would see that the muscles in those horses' bodies would be tense. Their hooves would be digging into the mud. They would be straining to get to the finish line because they wanted to finish first. That's the word that Paul used. He said, just like a racehorse that is trying to get to that finish line with great intensity and energy, that's what I'm doing to try to become like Jesus Christ. And I'm not giving up on that. I'm continuing to do it. I just keep pursuing and pursuing. And even when times get difficult, I don't give up on it. I keep going. Being excited for Jesus for a little while, very easy to do. Being passionate about Jesus for the long haul, difficult to do. And see, that's why the people about whom we were thinking earlier are different from the way that we are. We have these ups and downs and these jagged peaks where we're really excited, but then we fall back into the way that we used to be. They just kept on growing and growing and growing. Let's use this as an example. Is there anyone in the room that ever has learned to play a musical instrument? Let me see your hands. If you've ever played any sort of musical instruments, piano lessons, anything like that. All right, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up if you've ever learned any musical instruments. All right, now put your hands down if you no longer can play that musical instrument. Bunch of quitters over here on this side of the room. You see what I mean? You can put your hands down now. At one point, we really got after it. And we thought, I'm going to do this. But then somewhere along the way, something else came into play, and we lost that same intensity. The people who inspire us, the people who really cause us to think seriously about our faith, they're the people who just keep on going. Through different seasons of life, they keep pursuing Jesus, and they have perseverance and determination. Why aren't we like those people? Why aren't all professing Christians on fire for Jesus Christ? Why aren't our churches electrified with people who are burning to serve Jesus? We pursue lesser values. We've forgotten how wonderful Jesus is. We lack the necessary perseverance and determination. And then fourth, we have forgotten the prize that awaits those who live well. In the concluding verse of this passage, Paul said, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Regularly in Paul's writings, he talked about rewards that would be distributed in heaven based on our faithfulness on earth. Now, I do not have a very good way of explaining this. I haven't been to heaven yet. The Lord hasn't let me come up and take a peek and then come back down to describe it. But all the way through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and through the letters, particularly 1 Corinthians and this passage here, Paul and the letter that James wrote, there are the mentions of various rewards that some believers will inherit when they get to heaven, but not all. I wish that I could have a way to make it understandable for you, but I don't have a way that is understandable for me. But I am convinced of this. Heaven will not be the same for everybody. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in one of the most sobering passages in all of Scripture, Paul said every Christian's life is going to pass through the fire. He's not talking about unbelievers here. Those believers will not, or those unbelievers will not go through the same sort of evaluation that we will. Paul said every believer's life, every person who has surrendered to Jesus Christ is going to have his life pass through the fire. And some people, Paul said, are going to come through and their lives are going to demonstrate that they lived well. And they're going to come out on the other side with gold, silver, and precious jewels. Great treasure in heaven. But, Paul said, some believers are going to have their lives pass through the fire. And their works will be revealed. That final judgment will demonstrate, yes, you were saved, but that's it. Paul said their lives will pass through and they will burn like wood, hay, and straw. And on the other side of the fire, they have no reward, but they themselves will be saved. Now, I don't know if that passage does anything to you, but I promise you it does for me. I do not want to look at Jesus face to face and have my life burned up like wood, hay, and straw. And say, Lord, I know you died for me, but you just don't understand how important Paul was to me. Lord, I know that you died for me, but you just don't understand the home that we lived in really required that I had to make a lot of money to pay for it. Lord, I know, but nothing but wood, hay, and straw. Remembering the prize that is promised for those who live well will cause us to make different decisions. Will cause us to make decisions this day which we will be happy we made on that day. That we did not settle for something temporary. And that we did not give up when a prize was available to us. I grew up in West Point. West Point is not known for many things, but we can play football over there. The Green Wave just keeps marching on. My senior year in high school, we won a state football championship, and I don't want to claim all the credit for it, but I truly believe that my cheering from the stands motivated those boys to get out and win another state football championship. In August, before the football season officially began, we had a boy who was a senior who had played football from the seventh grade, quit. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I don't know if he had gotten in an argument or fine. I don't know the details of why this boy quit in August, but he did. And that year, the West Point Green Wave marched undefeated all the way through the football season. Did not lose a single game. Even to the hated Starkville Yellow Jackets, who cheated every year. They had boys playing. There's absolutely no way that they had boys. Well, it started in junior high. They would have seventh grade boys, who were 6'4", 260 pounds. They weren't supposed to be in the seventh grade. Not many seventh graders shave. Not many seventh graders have to go pick up their wife and kids after school. But that's the way that they did. But that year, we beat everybody. And in the state championship football game, West Point won. And I don't know why he was there, but that boy who had quit in August was at the game. And as all of us were celebrating in the stands, as we were hugging each other, as we were, you know, shouting and celebrating, I just happened to see him about three rows in front of me. And as everybody else was cheering, he was standing there motionless, staring at the field with his hands in his pockets. I have often wondered, what was he thinking? What was he thinking as he watched what was taking place on the field? What I think is that he had going through his mind, that could be me. Those boys throwing the helmets, those boys pouring Gatorade on each other, those boys celebrating, that could be me. I could be down there if I had just made different choices. As I said, I wish that I could explain it to you, but I don't understand it myself. But there are going to be people who see their lives pass through the fire and have nothing left. And I wonder if they will be looking at those with treasures and thinking, that could be me. In fact, I want to say this. Again, this you can completely discount this if you want. But this is how I think it all fits together. A lot of people teach that there are no tears in heaven. But that's not exactly what the Bible says. What the Bible says in Revelation 21 is that He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And then there will be no more tears. I could be wrong about this, and I'm confessing it. But what I truly believe are the tears that Jesus wipes away are those in the eyes of people who see their lives burned up with nothing to show. And then somehow, mysteriously, he wipes away the tears and they have heaven. I don't want him to have to wipe away any tears from my eyes. I want to be jumping up and down like a monkey on a cupcake when he says, "Well done." And the people who were on our minds earlier, they're the ones who have been able to, all through the years, keep that prize in their minds. And it causes them to make different decisions. Why aren't all of us like those people who were on our minds earlier? Well, I think it's because, at least partly, based on what Paul said here tonight in these verses. And so, we're going to have an opportunity for you to respond, to begin living in that way. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back, and they're going to lead us in a closing song of commitment. Now, as we think about this, maybe, you never know, maybe there are some people who are here, and the reason that you are not living for Jesus Christ right now is because you don't know Him. You never have surrendered your life to Jesus. You have never acknowledged, "I am a sinner, and I am separated from God, but I want to be included in the family of God." And the only way that that happens is when a person says yes to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior who came to die for us. And so, if there's someone here this evening that does not know Jesus, then when we begin singing together, I'm going to ask you to slide out from wherever you are. You make your way to the front and say, "Brother Robert, I want to begin following Jesus Christ." I know that the majority of us in the room are people who claim to be followers of Christ. Maybe you would have to acknowledge, "You know what, I'm not anywhere close to the person about whom I was thinking earlier. That person who was on my mind is living at, or what did live, at a completely different level from where I am, and I need to do better in terms of being more the person that Jesus wants me to be. And I'm looking for my church family to pray for me and to help me, to know me how to help me know how to do that." In whatever way God's Spirit speaks to you, I hope that you'll be obedient to that. Let's all stand together.